It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
If you're a hunter like me, you no doubt love the month of October, and a person who I think very highly of, Andrew McKean, expresses his love for this month with true eloquence. Andrew's the hunting editor for Outdoor Life. He lives in Northeast Montana, and if you go to his Facebook page, you'll see a post with a fantastic photo of him posing next to a big pronghorn he harvested at the end of the hunting day earlier this week. The photo's wonderful, but it's the post from Andrew that really gets to me. As twilight glimmers in the background of this prairie setting, he says, "Photons of an October twilight loitering in the prairie sky. An encounter with an old South Country antelope. September has its urgency. November, its finality. But give me October for its clarity." Well said, Andrew. In fact, beautifully said. This week on America Outdoors Radio, we've got another great slate of knowledgeable guests with some wonderful topics to share with you. That includes Jeff Prendergast with the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks. He just put out the 2021 Upland Bird Forecast. He's going to share that with you, and think after you hear it, you may well be packing your bags, loading up your shotgun, and heading to the Sunflower State. After that, we've got a real doozy of a chat for you. You've probably heard of the NFL Combine, where college athletes trying to make it into pro football are evaluated on a number of physical aspects to see if they would be a good fit for a team. Now, the folks at Bassmaster and Abu Garcia have teamed up to put together a combine for high school bass anglers who are hoping to get scholarships for competitive bass fishing in college. Hank Weldon with BASS, also known as Bass, will join us in a few minutes to tell you about this. Sticking with tournament fishing, we'll be ringing up Daryl Van Vactor at Crappie USA because the big Crappie USA Classic took place at Lake Hartwell in South Carolina last weekend, and we'll tell you who came out on top, how they did it, and what they won. Finally, you've heard the news about the supply chain issues making it difficult to get products into stores and how this may be a real problem for holiday shoppers. That's why we'll be getting Dan Clayton Luce, the communications director for Henry Repeating Arms, on the line to talk about why right now is the time to buy a rifle from Henry if you want to put one under the Christmas tree, and how even now it might not be as easy to do so as you would think it would be. Dan will also give you some ideas about some of the wonderful lever-action rifles they sell that would make for the absolute perfect Christmas gift. We'll wrap things up with another giveaway we're doing, and I'll give you a preview of this, because if you're a Henry Repeating Arms rifle or shotgun owner, or want to be, you'll want to put in for this one. We are giving away a gun case and ball cap from Henry Repeating Arms. Both have their logo on it, and you could enter for a chance to win right now through our Facebook page at America Outdoors Radio. Just like and follow the page and look for the post thread where you can enter. If you don't do Facebook, you can also enter through our website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Either way, just let us know what state you're from and what station you're listening to, and we'll give you not just one, but two chances to win. And we're going to give away this gun case and ball cap from Henry Repeating Arms after our last broadcast on Halloween. All right, let's get things started with our first guest. Our first stop on America Outdoors Radio today is the Sunflower State of Kansas. If you're an upland bird hunter, you know this is traditionally one of the better states to hunt upland birds, and that's why we've got Jeff Prendergast on the line. He's with Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks. He's a small game specialist who just put together the 2021 Upland Bird Forecast. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So let's get right to it. We're going to start off with ringnecks. How are pheasant doing this year, and how can we expect hunting to be this fall?
Best to start with just a little bit of a background. So Kansas, typically we sit in about the second or third most ringnecks harvested per state. Of course, South Dakota is always number one, but North Dakota, us, and sometimes Iowa kind of flop back and forth between those number two and number three spots. In really good years, we can harvest almost 1 million pheasants.
Wow.
We haven't done that in quite some time. There was a big drought in the Great Plains that knocked all of our birds way down to the dump and probably hit us harder than most. You know, we're where the Dust Bowl was, and so when things get dry right here, it gets really dry. But we've kind of recovered back to somewhat of an average to slightly below average, where we're harvesting, 450,000 birds a year, and a lot of that has to do with the hunter participation. So according to our surveys, nothing really changed from last year, which was still right in that kind of average neck of the woods. Our northwest corner of the state did a lot better, and that's kind of where we got hit the hardest with that drought over the last, 10 years, and that they've kind of been slowly climbing back out of that, and we got some of the best nesting conditions we've had out there for several years. So that particular area of the state looks like it should be a little bit better, and things should stay fairly similar across the remaining regions.
All right, let's turn to quail. Is it bobwhite quail in Kansas or another species?
Well, we're predominantly bobwhite, probably 98%, 99%. We do have a small population of scaled quail in the far southwest corner.
And how are we looking for the quail this year? Also average or maybe a little bit better?
Quail have been above average for several years in a row now. Our survey showed that we might have had a little bit of a decrease this year, but we've been so high for several years that it's still going to be above average. It should be good huntable densities. And we had some issues with our survey conditions this year. Weren't great. And so the quail, well, I don't expect that they went up. It may be even better than what our survey actually showed. We're getting a lot of really good anecdotal reports, seeing a lot of quail, large quail coveys. Our average brood sizes were up and everything. So I think it's going to remain good like it has been for the last several years.
Sounds very promising to me. Let me ask you a question. You're right. We have a lot of folks listening from outside of Kansas who might want to head there for some pheasant and quail hunting. How is it in terms of public access? Is there a lot or is it mainly private property?
So we don't have a lot of publicly owned grounds. We're 49th of 50 states for percent of public ownership. So we don't have a lot of public ground, but what we do is we have a very strong, one of the strongest weehaw or walk-in hunting programs in the country, where we have over 1 million acres that we lease from private landowners to allow for public access for hunting. So it's called our weehaw or walk-in hunting areas program. There's on our website, KS Outdoors, you can find digital versions of all those maps where you can zoom in and kind of check the properties out ahead of time. Or we produce a gazetteer style atlas for free at any of our licensed vendors in the state once you get here.
Well, plenty of room to roam. You've got to love that. One other upland bird species I want to talk about is the prairie chicken. Now, this is one that's not found in most of our United States. Tell our listeners a little bit about the greater and lesser prairie chicken and where you can hunt those.
Well, we actually have two species of prairie chickens, the lesser prairie chicken and the greater prairie chicken. Now, the lesser prairie chicken is currently going through Endangered Species Act protection review and proposal. And so we have a southwest zone where that bird occurs that you can't hunt. So it's important to check a map before you head out to make sure you know if you're in the open or closed zone for prairie chickens. But the greater prairie chicken is found throughout the northern and eastern parts of the state. And historically, the Flint Hills and kind of the eastern third part of the state is one of the large strongholds because of the intact native prairies over there. The management of that area has kind of continually had that population continually declining. The north central kind of region of the state has our most consistent access for prairie chickens and probably most stable populations. And there's abundant opportunities up there. That season opens in September, and early on, it's designed early like that so that when those birds still hold tight for dogs and you can get after them with pointing dogs in the uplands. And it goes through January. And as you get further into the season, it gets more and more difficult to approach those birds. They get more leery and they group up. There's more eyes watching you. And so a lot of our traditional late season hunting is finding where those birds are feeding. And they have a pattern where they go to the same field in the morning and the evening. And so a lot of times you can find where they're flying and sit in the fence rows and kind of pass shoot those birds. So.
All right. Really interesting. Never heard of pass shooting upland birds before. But folks, if you want to plan a trip to the Sunflower State of Kansas, plenty of upland bird opportunity there. And it sounds like it's going to be pretty good this season. Pheasant and quail season opens up November 13th. The greater prairie chicken season is open right now. And if you want to find out more about planning a trip, go to ksoutdoors.com. You can also check out the entire 2021 upland bird forecast there. Jeff, thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Yep, thanks, and good luck to all your listeners.
Country Hunters and Anglers. You may have heard of us, but what are we about? BHA is the voice for your wild public lands, waters, and wildlife. From national-level policy work to boots-on-the-ground projects like public land cleanups, we work across North America to uphold the legacy of our public lands and waters, as well as your opportunity to hunt, fish, and recreate on them. Stand up for public lands and waters and become a BHA member today. Visit backcountryhunters.org.
Campers, adventure seekers, hunters, and foodies. No matter the lifestyle, we can all agree on one thing. Great food and great people are worth remembering. At Camp Chef, we don't just make grills. We create each product knowing that a warm meal is always better when it's shared with those we love. Learn more about Camp Chef grills, smokers, and portable cooking equipment at campchef.com. That's campchef.com for a better way to cook outdoors.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
Come explore the Dalles in Oregon for outdoors fun. Hike amongst the wildflowers, bike our riverfront trail, or visit the Gorge Discovery Center where you can enjoy a live raptor display, or even check out our National Neon Sign Museum. But don't forget the fishing. We've got salmon, steelhead, bass, walleye, and monster-sized sturgeon waiting just for you. When the day is done, tell those tall tales at one of our wineries, breweries, or restaurants, and plan your next adventure. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
Next up on America Outdoors Radio, we got something different for you. We've got Hank Weldon on the line. He's the senior manager of the BASS High School and College Program. And we're going to talk about a combine that just occurred in Decatur, Alabama. It was the Abu Garcia Bassmaster High School Combine. Hank, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here. And yeah, can you believe it? We're talking about a fishing combine.
I know. You know, I've heard of the NFL Combine, where all those college kids who decide they want to go in the NFL, they get in front of the scouts and the coaches and are evaluated on different skills, hoping to impress a team and get on a team. But I've never heard of a combine for high school anglers. What's the purpose of this?
Yeah, you know, that kind of were along the lines that led us to that. You know, with the position I'm in at Bass and running the college series and high school series, one of the things we found out is, yeah, there's a lot of recruiting that goes on. Sometimes that at a college coach will come to a high school event, but it's hard for these college coaches because they don't have the budget to travel around and they're focused on tournaments and it's still, you know, infancy, I guess, if you're talking in terms of sports. But we found out there was a need to kind of create this event that would bring kids from all over to one area for one weekend, colleges from all over to one area for one weekend, and kind of create this one-stop shop that was very relevant, very, you know, microeconomic focused, I guess you would say, that would be a very efficient event to specifically focus on colleges recruiting high school anglers to potentially attend their university to join their fishing team. So that was the idea. We, you know, it's been around for about 3-4 years. We were going to launch it in 20, but COVID hit, so we punted to 21 and just wrapped it up last weekend.
Well, I love this concept. I really do. Now, I understand anglers in this combine were evaluated in three different categories, and it's not what I thought when I first read it. I thought that actually, you know, they're going to be out on the water and can you catch a bass, but that wasn't it at all. It was category number one was casting distance, category number two, knot tying, and number three, casting accuracy. How were these measured?
Right. So, you know, that was one of the things we wanted to do, and I've heard from college coaches, you know, this is no knock on any kid, but they'll have their parents sell their child for them. And, you know, a parent is always the most proud of their own offspring, right?
Of course.
And then the college coaches would figure out, well, hey, this kid's not as highly skilled as we thought they were. So that was the idea behind how we had these designed. So coaches could get in there and see the mechanical skills, see how quickly they can tie knots, you know, see how far they can throw a bait. And they were able to actually analyze the skill set the angler had at a very quick turnaround. You know, most of these kids can catch a fish, but I think the college coaches could also tell quickly, based on the mechanics, how well they can compete out on the water. And I'll tell you, they were all very highly skilled. It was very impressive to watch them compete. But also inside of that, too, within the combine, you know, they had various interview times where the coaches could, you know, verbally talk to them about academics, you know, where they're from, how would you break down a lake, those sort of things. But as far as physical eye test, those were the three disciplines that we put together.
This is really interesting to me. So let's talk about one of the categories, knot tying. You said it was speed. Are they given different knots to tie and then timed on how fast they can tie them?
So yeah, here's how we scored that with our title, Abu Garcia, just a part of the Pure Fishing brand. So one of the things we did is we asked them to send two of their line tension break test machines. So a big, huge machine, and, you know, actually, I think, you know, they did it for Berkeley years ago. They would test the line,
right,
test the knot, see at what poundage 12-pound test would break at. So that's what we did. We got two of those machines in, and this is how it works. So we didn't really specify what knot to tie. And then, you know, this was an unscripted event this year, so we had to, like, figure out what we're doing. And I think, you know, we'll go back to the drawing table, and there may be some modifications to these disciplines, but this was where we landed on year one. And so we have the angler sit down at a table, and we say go. And they have 3 minutes to tie two knots, and it's the knots of their choice. They have to tie a line to lure knot, and then this was the very technical one, a braided line to fluorocarbon knot.
Ah.
So you can't just tie your old-fashioned blood knot because it won't hold. The
right.
braid won't hold to the fluoro. So we were seeing all kind of crazy knots, like the FG knot. That's a very technical knot that takes usually by itself longer than 3 minutes if you're taking your time and doing it correctly. But because you have to hold it like within four different points, it's super technical. But these kids figured out how to do that under the time constraints, and they're tying two knots within 3 minutes. And then when they're done, we take those two lines and we put them in those tension break test machines and we test the knots. And based on where it breaks at the poundage point, I mean, if the knot holds, was how they were scored in that select discipline.
Oh, that's fascinating. Another question for you here. When it came to the casting distance, the casting accuracy, are these anglers bringing their own rods and reels that they're familiar with, or are they basically given, here's the rod and reel you're going to use, and maybe they're mainly a spinning rod guy, and they're given a level wind rod and reel?
Right. Yeah, so with Abu being the title, they sent 30 rods and reels all the same. You know, we had some left-handed versions, some
sure.
right-handed versions,
sure.
but it was a 7-foot medium-heavy rod with a Revo SX reel is what they had to compete with. And we didn't want them to use their own equipment just for the sake of fairness to the
right.
competition. They were great. You know, we had a cast-off for the casting distance. It ended up being cool. It was like right at the darkness point of the day, and the kid ended up throwing it 58 yards to win the match
wow.
and win the overall casting distance discipline.
Oh, this would have been really fun to watch. Did this take place in like a local high school gym or what?
No, we actually, well, you know, Mother Nature was not really kind to us. You know, October typically in Alabama is beautiful, but we had a cold front come through the night before. Imagine that. You know, you have a bass tournament, usually a cold front comes through, even if it's in July. And the wind was blowing like 25 miles an hour. So I also had the kid threw it 58 yards with a 25 mile an hour side wind, and they have to land it within a 10 yard window. It's almost like golf. You've got to be in the fairway for it to count. So you've got to be in bounds for it to count. So added a little bit of a challenge, but it was a beautiful sight. We've had several elite events here. It's in Decatur, Alabama. And they've got a big indoor pavilion where we did our interviews and meals and all that. But then outside was the venue right there next to the dock, where the schools were able to put kids in their own boats and assess their boating skills, and then also where we did all of our discipline challenges, too. It was all outside.
All right. We are running out of time, but I guess the last question is this. Did any of those kids get offered scholarships to go tournament bass fishing?
So as of right now, at the combine itself, we know of around 9 scholarship offers that were extended and accepted upon. But, you know, it's one of those things. We were not pressuring the schools to lock in anybody during the event, but we have a lot of offers that were extended and visits that were locked in for certain students to go to certain schools. So there's going to be more scholarships, you know, here in the near future. We think, you know, mid-December we'll probably release a report that's a full recap on scholarships that were offered and accepted, you know, that generated at the combine. But as of right now, 9 total that we know of.
I'll tell you what, high school and college level tournament bass fishing, I sure wish they had that when I was in college, but I'm sure glad they have it now. It is great for the sport. Folks, if you want to find out more about this, go to Bassmaster.com. All sorts of resources there. Maybe you've got a kid you want to get involved with this. And if you do, again, Bassmaster.com, that's your first stop. Maybe they'll be in the combine next year. Hank, thanks so much for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
John, thanks for having me.
This portion of the show was brought to you by our friends at WorkSharp. They're the fine folks out of Ashland, Oregon, who make knife and tool sharpeners that you can use whether you're hunting or fishing or camping or maybe in your shop, maybe in your kitchen, for all of the knives and tools you need sharpened every day when you work and play. WorkSharp tools can be found online at WorkSharpTools.com or you can find them in sporting goods stores and hardware stores all over our great nation. Just look for WorkSharp products to sharpen your knives and your tools, because nothing is worse than trying to get the job done right with a dull blade. Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com. You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. The Crappie USA Classic just took place last weekend at Lake Hartwell in South Carolina. And with us here to tell you how it went is Daryl Van Vactor. He's the operations manager for Crappie USA, which is the biggest crappie tournament trail in the nation. Daryl, great to have you back on the air.
Hey, John, it's great to talk with you again.
Well, let's start off with Lake Hartwell, South Carolina. I'm very familiar with this. I think most of our listeners are, as a favorite destination for big bass tournaments, but I've never really thought of it as a crappie destination before. Tell us about the crappie fishery there and about Lake Hartwell itself.
Oh, I'll be happy to, John. You know, you're exactly right. Most folks do feel like that it's one of the premier bass destinations in the world. In fact, BASS is visiting there, I think, this next year. And so it's tremendous for bass, but it's also tremendous for crappie. You know, it boasts a fantastic crappie population. When we started looking at the numbers from the fisheries folks there, we just couldn't believe the population per acreage that they're showing. And boy, our guys found that to be true. You know, this past week we had adverse conditions. It rained nearly all week, bringing the water up very quickly, 2 or 3 feet. Then all of a sudden on tournament days, a cold front moves in. We all know what that means.
Right.
It drops the bite down on a normal basis. But believe me, this was everything but normal as far as dropping that bite, because it took over 20 pounds, in fact, nearly 23 pounds to win our pro division and 18-something to win the amateur division. So tremendous weights. All the teams caught multiple limits of fish for the most part on a daily basis. And, you know, they were able to use so many of their favorite techniques that they bring with them from any of the 17 or so states that they were attending from shooting docks to longline trolling. But probably the most popular technique right now in the crappie world, John, is a Garmin live scope. It's
right.
Just one pole in hand watching that live scope. It's got to be quite a technique of its own, and we sure saw that this past weekend.
You know, folks, if you're not familiar with the Garmin live scope and other fish finders like it, this one's different. Most of your fish finders look straight down from the boat, maybe sideways, but the live scope looks forward, and you can actually see the fish react to your presentation. It's absolutely amazing. It's been a real game changer in the bass world, and as you just heard, in the crappie fishing world too. Question for our listeners who are not familiar with crappie tournaments. I think a lot of folks know when it comes to bass fishing, you bring in your five biggest bass. When it comes to crappie fishing, how many fish are the anglers bringing in a day?
They're allowed to bring in up to 7 fish per day. And, of course, the Classic is a two-day event. So the weights are actually the best of the 2 days for up to 14 fish for the team of anglers.
Now, you had 80 teams competing in the pro and amateur
divisions.
That's correct. Right. And this is invitation only. You have to earn your way to the Classic. You just can't show up. It's not an open, is it?
Oh, that's right. In fact, this past year, it was pretty tough to qualify. We normally qualify between 150 and 200 teams to the Classic. Of course, this being a COVID year, it knocked some of those regional numbers down to where we didn't qualify as many, but they had to double qualify both at a local event and a regional event to be able to get to the Classic this year. So it was the best of the best that got qualified for the Lake Hartwell Classic.
Well, let's talk about who came out on top in terms of the best of the best. Like you said, just about a 23-pound bag plus the big fish, a 2.3-pounder. Who got that and what did they win?
That was Frank Hassack and his partner, Michael Parker. Now, they're from North Newton, Kansas and Grain Valley, Missouri. Very competitive team. They fish a lot of tournaments, and they're competitive wherever they go. But the package they won this weekend was a 518 VS Ranger boat with Ranger Trail Trailer, 150 horse Mercury motor. It will be fully equipped, trolling motors, electronics, onboard chargers, Driftmaster rod holder racks, everything they need to go fishing, basically. That package alone was worth $52,000. And like you said, they had the big fish, that 2.32-pound slab. That got them another $1,300. So that tells me that would be enough money to get at least a half a tank of fuel in that new boat, the way fuel is going up.
That's about right. You know, the anglers in the amateur division, they were no slouches either. They caught just over 18 pounds of crappie in 2 days. Who were they, and what kind of boat did they come home with?
That was a well-known team in the crappie world. These boys have fished with me, I think, all 25 years of Crappie USA, and they actually fished with me under the Crappie-Thon label before we purchased Crappie-Thon from Johnson. And that's a team of William Henson and Tommy Slice. Fantastic team. William is from Cassett, South Carolina, and Tommy is from Chapin, South Carolina. They had 18.11 for their 14 fish. That was the two-day limit. They weighed in 7 fish per day. They won a completely rigged out Ranger RT, which is an 18-foot aluminum series Ranger. Fantastic riding boat for aluminum series. Plus, they got the Ranger Trail Trailer. They got a 115 Mercury outboard and all the trimmings. Trolling motor, electronics, Driftmaster rod holder system, onboard charger, everything with that rig as well for a total package value of over $32,000.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I was, before I broke my leg and ended up spending a whole lot of money on that, I was definitely in the market for a boat, and I was looking really carefully at that Ranger 188, and the 188C, perfect for crappie fishing. I agree with you, that is a beautiful outfit, and, you know, in this day and age, I guess 31 grand's considered almost a budget boat. It's just kind of a funny way it is now.
It definitely is, John, and you know, one thing to consider there, looking at that particular boat is the fuel economy.
Right.
The Ranger Aluminum Series are tremendous on fuel. And even the 198, the 198 is a 19, almost 20-foot boat, something over 19 foot. You can put a 150 on that, and you get the speeds up there if you like, and still get that fuel economy because you're pushing less weight. But very comfortable ride. These aluminum series that Ranger has been building for several years now have a tremendous ride. Even on rough water, they're a good, solid ride.
There you go, folks. A little plug for Ranger there, and a well-earned plug, too. Getting back to the Crappie USA Tournament Trail, I mean, this was the culmination of this year, but the 2022 season's coming up, and pretty much anyone in the South and Midwest is invited to compete. How do they go about doing so? Let's start off with the website and the Facebook page where they can find out more.
Yeah, the easiest way in the world is just go to crappieusa.com, click on tournaments at the top of the homepage, it will bring up the full schedule for 2022. Now, we've added something new this year, John. In fact, it's in process now, and that's our winter series. We included three of our fall events that were already on schedule into the winter series. We'll have another two events for qualifiers, which will be at Orange Lockaloosa Lake, Florida, the first weekend of December, and then the first weekend of January, we'll be back at Crescent Lake, Florida, and the following weekend, we'll be on the St. Johns River, Florida, for the winter championship. So all anyone has to do is just enter any of those three events that have already taken place and qualify for that winter championship, or either of the two Florida events leading up. So anyone that fished the three earlier events is qualified. If they fish Orange Lockaloosa or Crescent Lake, they also qualify for the winter championship. That's brand new to us. And then, of course, the normal spring schedule will kick off the following month in February with Lake Harding, Alabama, and then we'll just work north up the map. Of course, got some events out in the Midwest. Milford, Kansas, in fact, has two high-level events this year, one of our two-day super events and a two-day megabucks event. Megabucks events are just one-division events. Of course, our super event is two divisions like we do on most of our events. We have an amateur division and have a pro division at those other events, and they're welcome to participate in either. They don't have to be a traveling pro to participate in these tournaments.
All right. Well, I can hear the phone is ringing, probably people wanting to compete in some of these tournaments, so I'm going to let you go. But folks, the website to go to, crappieusa.com. It's the biggest tournament trail when it comes to crappie fishing in the nation. As you just heard, it's a year-round tournament trail too. Daryl, thanks for your great work, and thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you, John. Always a pleasure to be with you. Take care of that leg and get back out on the water soon.
I'm looking forward to it.
We love our children. We protect them. We guide them. We prepare them for life in the world. With all that we do from deep in our hearts, we cannot control all things. Life-threatening illnesses and disabilities affect far too many of our children each year. While we cannot change the circumstances, we can make dreams come true. Dreams to provide hope, to provide spiritual healing and strength, to provide moments of happiness and relief in the darkest of times. We can give a glimmer of light and hope in a time of darkness and despair. Join huntofalifetime.org to help make dreams come true, to provide hope for children with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Hunt of a Lifetime is a nonprofit organization fulfilling dreams for hunting and fishing trips to youth 21 and under with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Visit huntofalifetime.org to learn how you can make a difference. That's huntofalifetime.org.
Hey, how'd the meeting go with Tommy's school counselor today?
Well, not exactly as planned. I think we need help.
Help? Why do we need help?
Well, I asked her about paying for college, and she said that's not something they do.
Maybe it is time to get some help. Even if Tommy just goes to state college, it's going to cost at least $25,000 a year. We'll have to raid our retirement and pay for Tommy's tuition. There's got to be a better way.
There is a better way. A way where you can pay less for college or even receive college tuition free, regardless of your income or your students' grades. A way for you to keep your hard-earned income and savings for your future and spend less on college while virtually eliminating the need for student loans. Get the facts about college admissions and tuition by going to tuitionprograms.org. That's tuitionprograms.org. Tuitionprograms.org. Get the facts about college admissions and tuition by going to tuitionprograms.org.
Looking for the perfect gift for the hunter or shooter in your life? Give them a Henry. These American-made lever-action guns shoot straight and have a classic Western look. Choose from a .22 caliber Henry for plinking, a heavier caliber for hunting, or even a shotgun for birds and small game. Better still, these guns come in all sorts of finishes, covering everything from use in the field or on the range to showing off the best-looking firearm in your zip code. Henry Rifles and Shotguns come with a lifetime guarantee. And if you help need deciding what Henry is right for you, just ask. The award-winning customer service team at henryusa.com will be happy to help you out. So, go to henryusa.com and order a free catalog and holiday gift guide. Then, find what you like, look for a dealer near you, and get a gift that will put a real smile on someone's face this holiday season. Start searching for your Henry now at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. Let's talk about the supply chain crisis as it applies to the firearms industry, because everyone knows firearms have been in high demand since the COVID pandemic broke out, especially after police departments were getting defunded, response times increased, and folks, you need something to protect yourself. And a lot of folks took up hunting, too, for the first time, and you're going to need a rifle or a shotgun for that. So lots of demand, but a lot of companies are having a hard time getting rifles and shotguns into the hands of people who want them. That's why we've got Dan Clayton Luce on the line. He's the communications director for Henry Repeating Arms, a sponsor of our show and makers of some absolutely wonderful firearms. Dan, great to have you back on the air.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Let me ask you this. Henry Repeating Arms are made in the USA. Is your company faring better than some of the other companies who rely on overseas production?
I think we have to be, yeah. I think if we had materials or parts or, you know, whatever it is, tied up in these shipping containers on ships that aren't going anywhere, they can't dock, they can't leave, they're just in a perpetual traffic jam, I think we'd be in huge trouble.
You have facilities in Wisconsin, you have facilities in New Jersey, and I understand you're about to break ground and open up a third facility in Wisconsin. Tell our listeners more about this and why this is happening.
Yeah, today's the big day, actually, for the official announcement. We're breaking ground or staking our flag, I guess, in a new facility in Ladysmith, Wisconsin, which is about 45 minutes away from our Rice Lake, Wisconsin headquarters building. It's 84,000 square feet, and it's on about 13.5 to 14 acres. So we're going to be using this building to manufacture parts that we'll then use in final assembly in Rice Lake or in New Jersey. So if you happen to be traveling between Rice Lake and Ladysmith, and, you know, see a Henry truck driving back and forth, be sure to wave.
Is this going to mean more jobs for the local community there in Ladysmith, Wisconsin?
It does, yeah. So within 3 years, we expect to have over 100 people employed at this new building. I was actually there in the building 2 weeks ago, and at the time, it was just a big empty box, right? But I think last week, we started bringing in the first of the brand new machines, and then we'll also be moving some machines from Rice Lake over to Ladysmith to free up some floor space in Rice Lake, which basically allows us to assemble more guns. So yeah, over 100 people will be employed there.
Henry Repeating Arms has over 200 different models of lever-action rifles and shotguns. Again, even though you do make all of your firearms in America, I know you're being impacted by the supply chain crisis too. Got to ask the question, is it too late? I mean, we're sitting here in mid-October. Is it already too late to put a Henry under the Christmas tree, or do our listeners still have a little time?
Well, I think the sooner the better, for sure. If it were me and I was, you know, trying to put some Henry rifles under the Christmas tree for grandkids or something like that, I would have, you know, tried to start in February or something like that with the way things are going now. But no, I mean, we're shipping 30,000 plus guns a month. They're getting out there. It's just that demand is still so incredibly high that it feels like nothing's getting out there. In fact, it still feels like we're going backwards, but it's not the case. I mean, we're shipping record numbers. So I would say there's going to be a little bit of luck involved for those that are searching. Maybe you happen to walk into a dealer and they've got something that you're looking for on their shelf, or maybe they have something close to what you're looking for on their shelf. And I think you have to cast a wide net. I think you need to check online. I think you need to call around all the dealers in your area. And of course, if you go on our website, we have a contact form where we try and help people find what they're looking for. Of course, we're happy to help that way. I just, you know, guaranteeing Christmas delivery at this point, it might be a little bit tight, but we can certainly try and help as best we can.
All right. If you're looking for a list of dealers, folks, just go to henryusa.com. That's the website to go to. There's a tab up there that has all the authorized dealers, and you can just start calling. And with that in mind, traditionally speaking, what's the most popular Henry rifle or shotgun that is sold during the holiday season?
So I'll mention two. The first is the classic lever action 22. It's the model H001. We've sold over 1 million of those. It's a good price point gun where it's all still made in America. It's still American walnut furniture and everything like that. Those are very popular. And then the other is probably our flagship rifle, which is the Golden Boy 22.
Oh, yes.
That's also hugely popular.
Well, it's hugely popular because it's absolutely beautiful, and it really evokes that image of the Old West, too. Absolutely love the Henry Golden Boy. One other series of rifles we have to talk about here, and I understand you might not be able to get these under the Christmas tree, but just a promissory note might be a great gift here. The Tribute Edition rifles. Tell our listeners a little bit about these.
Yeah, so this one might require an IOU or something like that, like you said. But we make our range of Tribute Edition rifles at this point, I want to say probably close to 24. And we do these for constituencies that we feel are important to the growth and prosperity of our country. So we start with the more popular ones being the military service rifle, the law enforcement rifle, the firefighter rifle. And we do these rifles, typically they're 22s, but they're very nicely engraved. There's some 24 karat gold plating on the engraving to make it really pop. There's some engraving on the wood buttstocks that's filled in with full color by hand. Just very intricately done rifles to commemorate those constituencies. And we have, like I said, everything from military to coal miners, truck drivers, first responders, EMS, and almost everything in between.
Yeah, and they are absolutely beautiful. Truly a once-in-a-lifetime gift. You can check out the Tribute Edition rifles along with all of the other rifles and shotguns that Henry has to offer at their website, henryusa.com. As you heard, it might be a little difficult to get that firearm under the tree this Christmas, so you better start shopping right now if you want a chance to do so. Whoever gets that Henry rifle or shotgun is going to truly appreciate it, especially this year when these firearms are so hard to come by. But being made in America, you've got a better chance here than you have with a lot of other companies. Dan, thanks so much for sharing this with us today, and let me wish you a very early Merry Christmas.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you and yours as well.
Now, if you plan on buying a Henry rifle or shotgun for Christmas, you're going to want to have a gun case, and we just happen to be giving one away this week, along with a classy-looking ball cap, both of which come with logos from Henry Repeating Arms. The value of this prize package is actually $55, and there's a couple ways for you to enter if you want a chance to win. Here's what you do. Option number one, go to our website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Just go to the Contact Us page and shoot us an email. Let us know what state you're from and what station you're listening to today. You do that, you get not one, but two entries. If you're on Facebook, there's another way to enter too. Just go to our Facebook page at America Outdoors Radio. Step one, like and follow the page, not the post thread, the page. Then go to the post thread where we're doing the giveaway and give us that same information. Just let us know what state you're from and let us know what station you're listening to. We're going to pick one lucky winner after our last broadcast on Halloween. And if you're trying to convince somebody to get a Henry rifle or shotgun, well, this might be a little bit of ammunition to help you out with that. It's time to wrap things up, but I'll leave you with a similar thought that I expressed at the beginning of this show, and that is about the month of October. I don't know about you, but personally, I think it's my favorite month of the year. I love the crisp, cool mornings. I love the mildness of the afternoons. I love the soft light that you see in the late afternoon playing out on the hills around you. There's, of course, the changing leaves, and of course, the opportunities to go fishing and hunting. Take it all together, and it's a month that's truly worth experiencing to its fullest. Here's hoping you are blessed in the days ahead, and here's hoping you're able to take advantage of some of what October has to offer you. After all, it is your country and you're outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it. Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
More habitat equals more wildlife. Pheasants Forever is working hard every day to ensure there's more wildlife habitat for the future. Join the habitat leader and help create wildlife habitat in your community. To join us, go to pheasantsforever.org.